Summer, the best time of the year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices. But what if there was another way? With IKEA, your summer plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. At IKEA, everyone can have lounge chair access. No reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, they have all of the essentials that you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Start planning a better summer with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
I am all in.
More, more, more. I wanna kiss you more. More, more, more. I wanna kiss you more.
I am all in with Scott Patterson, an iHeartRadio podcast.
So listen, guys. Thank you so much for all the kind messages. Oh my God, it's an incredible thing that's happening for the team at iHeart and myself and anybody associated with putting this show together. It's overwhelming that the global community of Gilmore fans has come together to download this podcast in really, really big ways. And so thank you so much. We're working hard. We're not getting any sleep, but it's worth it because we love you guys and you're sending love back, and it's amazing and it's fun, and we want to have fun with you and engage you in humorous and delightful and informative ways. So you deserve it. You're going to get it, and you're giving it back to us. So thank you very, very, very much. So now we're going to get into listener questions. Let's get right into it. You know, you've DM'd us, you have emailed us, you have, You've left all kinds of comments on all kinds of platforms, and we're seeing every single one of them. And there's a lot of them, but they're all interesting and we love them. And let's get to the first one. And this is from Alex. Was the food real at Luke's Diner? Who ate it? Did people eat the prop food? Let me tell you something. The food was real. Yes. But it was old. They would cook it fresh. Right. And maybe on that first day that it was coming out, it may have been edible for maybe the first 10 minutes. But after that, it was like next day, same food, next day, same food, next day. So by episode, you know, it took us 8 days to shoot one episode. But so by that fifth, sixth, seventh day, when extras would get a little bored, a little hungry sitting around, they'd bite into a burger. They'd get a rude awakening that it was cold, hard, and not terribly fresh. So those were kind of shocking and humorous moments on the set. Who ate it? Yeah, it was the extras. And yes, the food was real. Okay, second question from Christy. I like the podcast theme song. Oh, is it Scott's music? What is the name of the song and is it available? Yes, that is I recently, during the pandemic, I sold my house. We moved into my wife's parents' condo, a huge condo in Santa Monica. They were away on vacation for a long time. So we're in there. So I was writing a lot of songs in there while my new home was being remodeled. And I just, I was sitting in a room where the songs just kept flowing, and I had borrowed my producer's guitar, and there were a lot of songs in that guitar, and they just kept coming out. So I wrote all these songs. We went in the studio and recorded three songs. That's one of the songs. So I sent it to our main producer, Amy, who is with us, and I said, "What do you think about this for the theme song?" She loved it, and so we went with it.
I was worried at first. I was like, "What if this sucks? What am I going to do if this sucks?" But it did not suck.
I know, right?
How am I going to tell him this song blows?
I know. How many times have you ever been in that situation in your life where it's like you got to be honest with people because you love them, but you don't want it to screw up your business? It's important. So, but it's a good song. Yeah. So I wrote it, and I changed my sort of take on songwriting, and I wanted to, I was listening to a lot of early Beatles, those 2-minute happy songs with great hooks. And I was like, really just trying to, it's a pandemic. I don't want to get, commiserate or be depressing, because those songs are easy to write. And I just thought, challenge yourself, write happier music, write love songs. So it was all love songs. Okay, so here's a question from Jay. Hi, Jay. Was the hot coffee real in Luke's diner? Yes, but then it would cool off, like I said about the food. It would cool off, and then you'd be drinking either lukewarm or cold coffee the rest of the day.
Didn't Alexis drink Coke?
I think she did.
I think she had. Coca-Cola.
My memories of her were on the set where she was a little more. She was healthy, but I guess at times she probably drank Coke. We all needed something, trust me, because we're like nodding out. After lunch. After lunch, if you had to shoot a scene, you were like, "Oh boy, oh boy." So how many times did you have to pour a cup of coffee for a scene? Jeez. I mean, every time in the diner, that was my go-to shtick. I'm pouring the coffee. It was my excuse to go over to the table. The director would say, "Scott, how are you going to get over the table? We're going to have someone pour a cup of coffee. What do you think? Don't you watch a show? What's wrong with you?" So that's what I did. Here we go. Jessica has a question. Who came up with the idea of no phones at Luke's? Oh, good question. I can't take credit for that. That's a Sherman Palladino move right there. So there you go. That's their commentary on encroaching technology. And it works like a charm. And Alessandra, when it snowed, was the snow actually real? And what did it actually smell like? Unfortunately, Alessandra, it was not real. They have these very sophisticated companies that come in and do snow for film and TV, and they're made of paper. It's like confetti almost. It's tiny little squares of paper, and they rain them down, and there's a lot of it. And they lay down these sort of white mats to make it look fluffy, and then they pour that stuff from a giant machine on top. It's a much larger machine than you even realize. You walk on set and go, "What the heck is that thing?" It looks like they're putting up a huge building or something, but then they just rain little paper down on everything. It looks really good. So that's how they do it. And it gets in your nose, and it gets in your clothes, and it gets everywhere. And it's kind of like sand. All right, guys, thank you for your questions. Awesome questions. I hope you learned something. I had fun answering, so keep them coming. And we're going to get into breaking down the episode a little later. But first, we have the iconic Sally Struthers, who is making her debut appearance in episode 2 as Babette, the wife of Maury, and a Lorelei neighbor, and gnome, owner of gnomes, best gnome collection probably in Stars Hollow, I would say. And maybe in that entire county, I don't know. If anybody knows, let us know. Somebody with gnome knowledge, because I certainly, you know, I'm versed in gnomes, but I'm sure there's somebody out there that can top me.
What did you think when they told you Sally Struthers was joining the cast?
I mean, I grew up on All in the Family. I mean, what a fantastic show. And she was, you know, she was glorious. She was like this, I don't know, just this bright light in television and such a positive force and such a funny actress and such a great actress. And all of those, I mean, it's like almost every scene in All of the Family was iconic. I mean, it's like you can't watch an episode of that and not go, wow, that was huge. That was huge. I remember that one. Huge, huge, huge. It's like going to a Beach Boys concert. Every song's a hit. And you're like, what is going on here? So, so it was Sally Struthers. And then when we met her, it was even better because, you know, you don't know what to expect from people. And she's so funny and so loving and so like everybody's mom and everybody's best friend and all the great stories and no pretensions about her at all. Just the best person you could ever meet. And also joining us, even though she doesn't come on until season two, we don't see her make her first appearance until season two, Rose Abdu, the brilliant improvisational actress and comedian Rose Abdu will be joining us with Sally. So it's going to be a raucous affair, let me tell you. It's going to be filled with laughter. And we'll be back with them after a quick break. Summer, the best time of the year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices. And vacation disappears quicker than ice cream melts. But what if summer doesn't have to come with a scorching price tag? What if there's another way? With IKEA, your plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. Here, everyone can have lounge chair access, no reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, we have all the essentials you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Dreamy getaways can mean the perfect reading nook right outside your window, picnic in the shade, or taking your morning coffee to meet the morning sun. Really, any meal tastes better outside. Create that summer escape for family and friends and start planning a better, more affordable summer right now. You can be the host with the most and the least worries. This summer, make your doorstep the perfect vacation destination with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
Hello, ladies.
Hi, baby.
Hey, Scott, how are you?
It's so good to see you guys.
You
oh my
too.
Goodness. What is happening? What is going on, Sally? What have you been up to? Huh? Are you doing your theater? You're doing your musical theater? You're
not
doing
during
your
a pandemic.
Yeah, and I guess
no,
not,
you can't
right?
gather yeah. in a theater what, for what pandemic. Have you, what have I have been laid up, as they say.
Ugh, my God. My God. It's tough, right? I mean, you gotta.
It's been torture.
But you know, thank
now,
God.
Rose won't brag about herself, but Rose is working constantly.
I know. I see
because
that.
She's
all the big films.
She's a wanted commodity. She's amazing in everything she does, and she's guesting on all of these shows now.
Well, if you go to Second City and get those chops, then you're going to be in demand, right?
Exactly.
That's like an investment into your future long term.
Oh, that's so nice. I love it. I mean, I got really lucky and got to work on Hacks, which is a new HBO Max show that's going to start May 13th. So I'm really excited.
Nice. Good for you.
But everyone, I mean, how many times, Scott, do you get asked about, like, are there going to be more? Like, so many people
every
just
single
want
day.
To do
every
day,
single
right?
Day.
They want a Christmas movie or something, just something. So I always feel like I'm disappointing everybody by going back. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, is it beyond the realm of possibility? I don't know. I don't want to give people false hope. Are we starting? Did we start yet?
Hey, we're rocking and rolling. This is what it is.
Okay.
We're
this
here.
Is natural.
We're here.
We're just chopping it up. You know, we're just. You know, it's like it's going to be a little trip down memory lane. So welcome, you guys.
Thank you.
Do people stalk you on the street, Scott?
Stalk me?
Stop.
I mean, they might follow and hello.
Not
they're
stalk.
Always pleasant.
Stop.
Yeah.
Oh, stop me. Stop me.
Do they recognize you and stop you to talk to you?
Oh, sure. Yeah, they come up. They're very friendly. I've only had very pleasant encounters. I mean, they're very polite.
Do your fans know that from Gilmore Girl fans? That before you were on Gilmore Girls, you were a professional baseball player?
Some do. Some do. Some of the guys are like, hey, you know, and I, you know, I know you. I played with Chucky, you know, do-do-do-do-do, and, you know, I remember him, and you played with him. He said, you know, yeah, you're pretty good. And, you know, this kind of, you know, it's all that stuff. Yeah.
How old is your son now?
He's going to be 7 in June.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Are you playing baseball with him?
Nah, he's an artist.
Wow.
You should and you should see his drawings. They are amazing.
Wow.
He started out a couple years ago very Basquiat kind of stuff, and now he's into realism. So he's drawing these exact things.
That's amazing at that age.
Wonderful stuff.
Really
yeah,
cool.
Yeah. He's not a you know, it's like and he has all the talent. I've thrown the ball with him and he wings it back at 700 miles an hour and the whole deal, and it's like, but my thing with that is it's like, gosh, there's so much more to life.
Yeah.
And there's so many other skills that I know that he has. And I want to bring those out, you know, and allow those to develop and flourish. And
you're a good like you papa.
It's like if you get into that sports thing, it's very limiting. And not that it doesn't have its benefits. It does. It really does. But I mean, My fear is that he's like really good at it and we're going to have to make a decision.
Yeah.
I don't want him going that route.
Yeah.
But look, he'll decide, right? I mean, if it's meant to be, it'll be. But, you know, he's a very good student. He loves to read. He loves to create. He's got a real big creative side.
Did you know that Rose is an artist?
Oh, yeah. I mean, she did the background for this. She did the background for the background. She painted this background.
I didn't though.
It's fantastic.
I was teasing, but I sculpt miniatures and uh-huh. It's been so fun this pandemic because I don't know. I decided to make little cars out of food and somebody said, oh, do you do cars? Cause you're Gypsy, the auto mechanic. And I was like, I never even thought of that, but I got obsessed with making like tiny animals driving tiny cars.
There you go. Hey, you know,
and when she says tiny, she means tiny. When she finishes one of her pieces, which you can't understand, like adult fingers are just too big to be able to make this small thing.
They're a quarter.
She photographs it with a penny next to it so that you can see that it's about the size of a penny.
Right.
And it's right. it's detailed and it's perfect. Thanks, and it's Sally. A mouse driving a piece of cheese. It's a
thank you, Sally. Sally's like the perfect art agent. You're a great PR person, bro. We're doing it. We're really meeting together. This is part of a town meeting, the three of us.
Well, you have a 7-year-old, so I kind of know a lot about what you've been doing during the pandemic.
Yeah.
Rose has been working a lot. Not to be a Debbie Downer, but Rose and I both recently lost our dogs.
Oh, I'm so sorry. That's tough.
It's been pretty awful. But the only satisfaction, her dog was Monkey and my dog was Brad, is that now we know that Monkey or Brad are playing together in doggy heaven.
There you go.
Yep.
Yeah.
Have any thoughts about getting some new puppies?
How do you feel about that, Sally? I wanted to ask you that.
Starting over?
I counted on my fingers today and I ran out of fingers, the amount of dogs that I have had in my adulthood.
Wow.
And I have had 11.
Wow.
And before I got Brad, I went a whole year without a dog because my two before that were Scotty dogs, and one was Bob and one was Bananas. And Bob died of cancer, and 3 months later, Bananas drowned in my swimming pool.
Oh, God.
And my heart was so broken. I was so damaged from that. I went, first time in my adult life, I went an entire year without choosing another God's gifts. Dogs are gifts from God to live with. And then I found Brad at a rescue place in New Hampshire while I was working in Maine. And now my heart's so broken again. I don't think I can get one right away, but I'm sure I will. What about you, Rose?
I mean, he was so perfect that I don't really, I can't imagine getting another one. It was just, they died so close together too.
Please tell Scott how we were working together on when we were making the Gilmore Girls reunions, and you and John went to the Pasadena dog shelter and found a dog.
Amy would have put Monkey in the winter in a year in the life. Like I got the dog and everyone's like, oh, how's your dog? I go, well, we had him for 4 hours and he ran away.
Oh, no.
So that whole time I had to stand there on my mark. You were in that scene. And Amy was like, my mind was wandering so badly because I'm like, I just met this flipping dog. It took me 15 years to pick out a dog and he ran away.
But I knew you got a dog. And so I gave you a plaid collar for him.
She gave me a green plaid collar. The dog ran away. Long story short, someone found the dog. We put it on Lost Paws LA. The lady wasn't going to give up the dog. And we go, please, please, it's got a green plaid collar, a gift from Sally Struthers' godmother. She goes, I have your dog. So if Sally hadn't given me the plaid collar, they never would have found the dog.
Right.
I'm going to write it in a book because it really is an amazing story. But back to our life in our town meetings, Sally turned to me one of the first times I worked with you, Sally, and she looked at me and just, I didn't know her. I was like, oh, she's from All in the Family. I love sitting next to her. I can't believe this is happening. And she just goes, do you want to see my dog's driver's license? And I was like, yeah, your dog has a driver's license. And she pulled out a California license with the perfect picture of Bob. It was
so
perfect. So silly and so wonderful that I was like, yes, this is great. You still have it in your wallet? Fantastic. Bob's driver's license.
There it is.
Yep. There she goes. She's going to find it.
She's got it.
Yeah.
She's got it.
So I do want another one, but I just feel like he was so perfect. And it was my first dog. I was 53. I'd never had a dog before. And Amy actually said to me, their dog passed away right before we started filming A Year in the Life. And she goes, they'll break your heart. My husband said, they bring you joy a million times. They only break your heart once.
Right. Right. Well, the time will come.
Yes.
I can't find it at the moment, but it's... There is a company you can write to and you send them your dog's picture and your dog's height and weight and birth date.
So fun.
And they make a driver's license for you for whatever state you actually live in.
That's so
I tried using it when I got stopped by a policeman for I don't know what I was doing, but a policeman stopped me and he said, driver's license, please. So I handed him the one with my dog on it, thinking that it would charm him and that would.
I gotta tell you while I have you guys, the two biggest thrills of my entire career are when I was in Carnegie Hall taking repetition with Robert Modica, and he was dating Louise Lasser at the time, and I was a huge Mary Hartman
fan. I love that show.
Remember that show? That show was mind-blowingly great. It was just the greatest thing. And because it never should have been on television.
Right.
It was like theater of the absurd. It was, how did that get on network television? But it was just, she was great at it. And she was in the class, and I'd just done a repetition exercise where I, you know, dug real deep and had a big breakthrough in the whole deal. And I sat down, and I was like, whew. And she turned around, Louise Lasser herself turned around and looked at me, and she said, "You're going to get everything you want." And I have never felt so supported or blessed or
validated. You were thoroughly validated by it. Exactly.
Like, put a stamp on me and ship me out. I mean, it was just a wonderful moment. And then the day I walked onto the set, and there you were, Sally, from All in the Family, another show that I grew up with, just like worshiping the writing and the acting, and and I got to work with you. And the story I always tell is on my birthday, and you were so kind to do this because you knew my birthday fell on a very tragic day in our nation's history, 9/11. You would pick me up because I never celebrated it on that day because out of respect for the people who lost their lives. But you would pick me up. And people don't know this about Sally, but you're physically very strong. Yeah. I was shocked. And I was going about 210 at that time. And you would pick me up, throw me over your shoulder, and take me around the set and say, "Smack him on the ass, it's his birthday." You'd go to every single person, they wallop me, and I'd have red marks, and they go, boom, boom, boom.
I remember that every year.
I love that.
Oh, my God.
That's so funny.
What a hoot.
Sally, you're good at that. She can fireman's carry. She does it.
Oh, yeah.
You did it with Kenny Ortega, remember?
And then, no, she just threw me over her shoulder.
She put Kenny Ortega.
No, she didn't put me around her neck. She just threw me over one shoulder. And then she had a free hand to smack at will, you know, and then let others have their turn.
Sally, you're the person to be with if there's, God forbid, a burning building, because I will carry you all out.
And let me tell you why. I am Scottish and Scandinavian. Both of those people are built to pull the sleigh through the snow if the horse drops dead.
We're just
unnaturally strong. So
are you a Scottish Highlander or a Lowlander?
I'd like to take the high road, but it's not any fun. The low road passes cut by a couple of bars and a discotheque. Because
I'm a Lowlander, I'm not a Highlander.
Are you Scottish?
I'm a Lowlander.
You're Scottish.
Did you know that that Sean Gunn and Lauren Graham are Highlanders? Did you know that?
Ooh,
they're Scottish
really?
Highlanders. Yeah. If they have Scottish blood, and I think they both do. Yeah.
Well, my grandfather
and their tribes are still vital and alive.
Wow.
Yeah.
My grandfather came from a town in Scotland called Motherwell.
Okay.
And I honestly don't know if they were Highlanders or Lowlanders. I don't know this.
Right.
Now, well, Scott, do you have a kilt?
I had one, but I lost it.
I think you would look quite nice in a kilt, if I may say.
I don't know. I think maybe, you know, considering Milo's recent thigh flashing penchant, I could probably get away with wearing a kilt now. It really gives me a lot of freedom.
Yes.
Athletes usually have very nice knees.
They have nice legs, those guys, those Gilmore guys.
I don't know. So, tell me your favorite scenes, the favorite days. Do you remember the favorite scenes and the favorite days on set?
Any day I was with Rose was my favorite day.
There you go.
Rose made every day fun.
Oh, thank you. And you, I felt the same way about you. And Scott, I felt the same way when I just thought, I'm working with Sally and Liz. Like, that was my life revolved around that night of television with All in the Family. And I was just, it still blows my mind that I can call her a very dear friend, that because I was such a fan for so many years. But we had so much fun. I remember more about Year in the Life because, of course, it was more recent.
Right.
But I just remember, like, one day that really struck me was as Gypsy, I never got to be in the mansion, but of course I got to play Britta, so I got to be in the house. The day that they unveiled, you know, the painting of Ed Herman was just so enormous. We all gathered in the living room in the painting. That was part of the joke of it. It was, why is that painting so big? And everyone just looked at it, and I felt like his presence was almost there. Like, that that just was a day that I just remember. I remember feeling so close to, you know, Lauren and Alexis and Kelly, And it was just a very emotional day that I felt like he's not here, but he's here, you know?
It truly, you did feel his presence. And, you know, the scenes that I would do in the diner with Lauren or whomever, those were very intense scenes because there was so much to do in terms of blocking and and the handling of the plates and the you know, and hitting your marks. And it was like 10-page scenes, and they would shoot the master over and over and over. You well know this. And then on the days that and so there was like there was this intensity and there was sort of this burnout almost. Right. Where it was like, wow, this is, you know, because acting can be hard, endurance wise, and just to sort of keep that focus. But on the days that Sally and Liz were together in the diner, and Rose, you were there sometimes, and it was just all so much fun. It was like, thank God they're here, because without we can laugh, because you guys would sit around and tell those stories and tell jokes and just be great with everybody, and it was such a joy.
One day, I don't know Rose, if you know that, but Rose said to me, we were sitting in our, you know, actors director chairs that had our names on them, oh so fancy, and there were maybe four of us in the group, and Rose said to me, give us a show, Sally, of what you've got in your purse.
Favorite.
And I don't think you knew what I had in my purse, but I think there was a lot of jaw dropping going on because my purse is filled with things to make unhappy children stop crying on airplanes. You have to go past all of the props and the jokes to find my wallet.
Yes. You hit everything.
So I proceeded to take the things out of my, I've got my purse out of my purse.
And you had all kinds of stuff.
Well, first of all, this always shocks the child when you come back to talk to them and you say, hi, hi. And they either cry harder or they look amazed and they stop crying. And if that doesn't work, you put on one of your little hands and you sneak the little hand around the edge of the seat and you tap the child on the shoulder and they look and they get very quiet. I've got a pair of those.
And Sally, didn't you do... You had the crossword puzzle as Babette. That was your real crossword puzzle, right? That you were working out?
Yes. Yeah. And then always when the meal comes, you have the extendo fork because it makes it so much easier to eat off of someone else's plate. If what they have looks good, that you say, oh, you don't mind, do you, if I just take a bite? So there's that. And then there's always the chicken. I love chickens. And I say, oh, I have a chicken. I have a chicken and she's about to make me a grandma. Oh,
we're pulling out all the stops here on I Am All In, aren't we? Look at this.
Yeah.
Look at this.
Yeah.
You're not going to get this level of entertainment anywhere else. No, it's not going to happen anywhere else. See, this is why it was great.
And if the hand goes over right, then the foot coming around the corner of the airline seat works too. And you just walk along their tray.
Sally.
That's what's in my purse. What, Rose?
They're the best. And we did play the game, What's in Sally's Purse? And I really do think a show about celebrity purses would really be, I think
there you
be,
go.
I'd be,
there you go.
I'd watch that.
Haven't you always wondered what's in Queen Elizabeth's purse?
Of course. She carries that purse everywhere. I want to know what's in that purse.
I mean, is there a credit card that says the Queen?
Probably not.
And does she have Kleenex or does she actually carry a real hanky?
A real hanky, for sure. Yeah, for sure. But I think one of my favorite scenes that I'm most proud of is we did one together, Scott, where I think Jess... Oh, the fans know every single one. They know them by name. They know exactly which episode, which season... But you had to say, you had to ask me if he brought a bag of money, whatever it was. It was the longest scene. And I remember the line, guys are stupid. They strip their gears, they ride their brakes. And if they don't laugh when we make a joke, they think we're stupid. And there were 19 marks to hit. And it was, we had to do it over. We did it like about 19 times.
Yeah.
But I'm most proud of that. Because when I see it, you don't see all the technical, like stand here.
No, you know. No, it's not as easy as it looks. That is for sure. Okay, guys, it's time for rapid fire. You ready?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, yeah, yeah. Sally, you ready? Here's the first question. It's rapid fire. How do you take your coffee? Quick.
Cream and chocolate milk.
Rose, how do you take your coffee?
Black with sugar.
Sally, can you smell snow?
I've never tried.
Sally, are you Team Logan, Team Jess, or Team Dean?
Team Jess.
Team Dean, all the way.
All right. Who's the daddy, Sally? Who's the daddy of Rory's baby?
Of Rory's baby?
Correct.
Prince Philip.
I was going to say Piers Morgan, but anyway. Rose?
Logan is the daddy.
Logan is the daddy. What's the best, Sally, what's the best memory of Gilmore Girls?
Running across the town square at night, and it hurt my breasts, and so I held them the whole way. That's more pleasurable than holding your own breasts.
I got you.
Night, when all the lights, twinkling lights of Stars Hollow were on, and Sally and I were in the golf cart together, and we looked at each other and went, can you believe we're really doing this?
Right.
Yeah, that was one of my favorites.
Favorite Friday night dinner meal. Favorite Friday night dinner meal, Sally.
On the set?
Yes.
Or Friday night in my home? Are you talking Gilmore Girls questions?
I think this is a Gilmore, Emily and Richard Friday night meal. What was your favorite Friday night dinner?
Unfortunately, Babette was never invited to the Gilmore home.
Okay, what about in your life and in Sally's life? Favorite Friday night meal?
Fried chicken. Ooh.
Thank you. Thank you. Yes. I'll be over Friday night, by the
okay.
way. Okay. Rose.
By far, the mystery meat or mystery mush that Berta gotcha. Made.
What's the show, Sally, that you are binge watching right now?
Ooh, I binged watched The Queen's Gambit.
Ah. Ooh, I love that.
Rose.
I am now binge watching Call My Agent, this French series that I'm obsessed with. I just love it. I wish to do the American version of it.
Right. Okay. Cast member you texted most recently.
Oh.
Rose.
Sally.
Rose.
Sally. Rose.
Sally.
There you go. Boom. They're done. Thank you,
those
ladies.
Fun.
That's it. That's it.
Do you know that I don't even have anybody else's phone number?
Really?
I have this tourist phone number.
Yeah.
You have mine.
I do have your phone number, but you know, you're so young and you have a young child and I never want to bother you and have you think I'm stalking you. I always have had a bit of a crush on
you. Bother me.
You're in here for
you know, come on.
Sally just confessed her crush, Scott.
Rose, I also have a crush on your husband.
Why wouldn't you? He loves you so much.
Okay, there. I got it out of my system. I feel better.
Thank you.
Oh,
can I just say one of my favorite other things, Scott, was one take we did over and over again. And you went, hey, Rose, when you were supposed to say, hey, Gypsy. And it made me laugh so hard. You were like, Gypsy Rose. I'm just thinking Gypsy Rose. Of course, it's Gypsy.
I think I remember that.
I love that. I really miss it. I mean, I would do it again.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would do it again.
They should do it again. I mean, the demand is there.
Let's do like a holiday movie. So it's a one and done thing.
Just the three of us.
Yeah.
We'll do all the characters.
Yeah.
Well, you guys can do most of them and I'll just do my character. Let's just keep it at that.
I love thinking the first season, maybe it was the second, where my cat Cinnamon dies.
Oh, yeah.
And everyone comes to my house for a wake and Lorelai realizes for the first time that everything in that house was built to scale for me because I'm 5 feet tall. And so everyone was hitting their heads on the overhang. And I said, well, yeah, Maury, when he first moved in, he hit himself. He had a few concussions, but he's fine now. But I love that scene in their house. And because she had gnomes all over her yard, I have two gnomes here at my house now.
Oh, there you go.
Honor my days on Gilmore Girls.
Did you guys lift stuff from the set?
No, I didn't.
God, I used to
take
so much
stuff.
I didn't take anything.
Nothing. Yeah,
I didn't lift it per se. I was offered if I wanted to take any of that yarn home when the whole town was knitting. And I had a young lady living with me from Minnesota who was quite a knitter, Rebecca Kraut. And so I brought her home like 30 skeins of yarn, and she thought I was all that.
There you go. Different strokes for different folks,
but
ladies.
Go ahead. That the popularity of I read an article saying that the uprise in young people wanting coffee and revolving their mornings around coffee and everything had to do with your diner with Luke's Diner, and the popularity of coffee happened because Gilmore Girls was so popular. Like it really boosted the whole coffee, the idea of like young people drinking coffee.
You know, I had a couple of meetings with Warner Brothers Business Affairs about opening a bunch of diners.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Oh, those would be so popular. Everybody would go to Luke's Diner for coffee. Yeah. Everybody.
Yeah. Everybody wants that experience of having that, you know, corner diner back.
Yeah, it still might happen. Yeah. We'll see. Really. But ladies, thank you so much. It was a pleasure.
So nice to see you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sally.
Thank you, Scott.
Summer, the best time of the year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices, and vacation disappears quicker than ice cream melts. But what if summer doesn't have to come with a scorching price tag? What if there's another way? With IKEA, your plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. Here, everyone can have lounge chair access, no reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, we have all the essentials you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Dreamy getaways can mean the perfect reading nook right outside your window, picnic in the shade, or taking your morning coffee to meet the morning sun. Really, any meal tastes better outside. Create that summer escape for family and friends and start planning a better, more affordable summer right now. You can be the host with the most and the least worries. This summer, make your doorstep the perfect vacation destination with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
And we're back, guys. Wasn't she fantastic?
Oh my God, her purse. Like, what was going on? I can't wait till people, like, we put the video of that up because she's pulling crazy crap out of her purse.
And you know, they don't know it's Ellie Struthers, probably. I mean, maybe they do, but a lot of people would on a plane. But, you know, some little kid is not. I mean, she's coming with that crawly, that hand scratching people and grabbing their food. Oh my God. What a genius.
Oh, my God. They're awesome.
What a genius. The both of them, right? Oh, my God. Did you know Rose was like this serious, like she joined Second City, I think, in Chicago, right?
There's so many talented actual, like, actors.
Oh, no, board. No. They're like, you know, full-on skilled, just monster actresses. I mean, just fantastic with all the, they can bring it. They can all bring it. So that's why the show is so great.
Well, let's get into it. Riley, will you read what episode 2 was all about?
This is episode 2, The Lorelei's First Day at Chilton, air date October 12th, 2000. Synopsis, Rory's first day at Chilton prep begins badly when Lorelei oversleeps and accompanies her daughter into the intimidating school wearing a t-shirt, cutoff jeans, and cowboy boots, an outfit which draws disapproving stares from the other mothers and from her own mother, Emily.
All right, gang, so let's get into it. Lorelei's first day at Chilton. Here we go.
So, Scott, okay, right off the top, the Jeep. That was very prominent, the iconic Jeep. Tell us about the Jeep. What do you remember about the Jeep? Did you drive the Jeep? Did the Jeep drive? Like, everything about the Jeep.
You know, that Jeep, and I think Jeeps in general, have a real magnetic power for some reason. But that Jeep in particular, because it was a sort of a particular shade of yellow, it was kind of a lighter... It was like a sort of a lighter mustardy color. And it was just everybody gravitated to that Jeep. We all hung around that Jeep when we were shooting at Lorelei's set house. And it was always parked in the back. And everybody's like, man, that's a really cool Jeep. It wasn't like, oh, it's Lorelei's Jeep. It was like, that's just a cool vehicle. So we're like, we're doing like an ad for Jeeps right now. And we shouldn't be. But I was like,
do you ever eventually drive it?
I did take it off set and went to lunch with, who was I with? I think I was with Michael Winters. We escaped. And you know, Michael Winters, he played Taylor Dozy, my nemesis. Boy, we were reprimanded. Oh my God. Yeah, the transpo. And the guy that was the head of transpo, Michael, was the greatest guy in the world. Just the nicest guy. I mean, he goes around the world on missions and that kind of things. And just the most charitable, generous, good-hearted, good-natured guy. But he said, Scotty P, you can't take that thing off. You can't take it off the set. I said, yeah, but I was just showing Michael Winters. Oh, he said, oh, go. Well, then in that case, that's fine. And I said, don't do it again. So anyway.
What did you think of this episode in general?
I thought it set up all the conflict for the entire series. I mean, it really set it up beautifully. I mean, you've got, you know, Emily trying to interject herself in more in Lorelei's life in inappropriate ways. But I mean, I understand it. Why she was doing it. And of course you want to provide better clothes for her and have her fit in and get her a car. She don't want to ride the bus, you know, drug dealers ride the bus. What are you doing with our granddaughter? We don't want to ride the bus. I totally relate to that. And then the Paris conflict, one of the great scenes is one moment in that when the girl that Rory hands her folder off to the girl hands it out the window and there's Paris and they start going through it. I mean, it was just like, wow. Okay, now we're in for it. Now we're in for a real ride. That we see Tristan, you know, he calls her Mary.
Michael Murray, right. Everybody,
you know,
swooned immediately.
Right. The striking brilliance of Chad Michael Murray.
And he wasn't Chad Michael Murray then. This was like one of his first jobs.
No, he was just Chad Michael Murray at that time. He wasn't Chad.
He wasn't like Michael. One Tree Hill.
No,
Chad
he wasn't
Michael
that Murray. Guy yet. But. He was destined for that. We knew that. You know, calling her Mary and then finding out what Mary was and Lorelei. So it was that legacy thing. And it, you know, it was just all so great. And the way Lorelei was set up to wear cutoff jeans and a tie-dye shirt. And
the outfit, I laugh every time. It's just... And the zingers at her because of the outfit, like
the Emily thing. Oh, you tie up your horse.
Yeah, do you need a ride or is your horse?
Is your horse tied up outside?
And then she says, "No spurs for Friday night dinner. No spurs."
I will say, I think moms are rocking tie-dye shirts and cut-off jean shorts to drop off their kids at school nowadays. I feel like that's totally normal. Yeah. I saw that and I was like, yeah, looks about
but
right.
But not at Chilton.
Not in Connecticut. You're right. Not at those places. No,
love the flirty dad scene, you know, when the kind of hot divorced dad is flirting.
Right.
That was really cute, and you kind of start to see
it's like
mom.
Right. What's the effect on the person that you're asking out when you hand them the card and say, well, I'll be in China for a week. And why don't you give me a call? You know, this kind of thing. And it's like, oh man. You know, trying so hard.
Do you remember anything about that guy, Nick Chinlund?
Well, I didn't work with him, but I know he's a really good working actor. You know, he works a lot. He works in movies. He was in He was in that Denzel Washington movie. He's a versatile actor. Yeah. We had a lot, you know, I think all of the best actors that were available, or all the best actors that were working then, did our show.
They yeah, because John Billingsley was the teacher,
right?
So everyone was sort of somebody.
Everybody, yeah. Or they were well-established character actors, or there were stars to be, or you know, up-and-coming people. I mean, look at the people that did that show. It's like a who's who. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. So, but yeah. So the conflict, and then the conflict between Luke and Lorelai was set up. I didn't realize it was set up that early.
I didn't either. I couldn't believe we see the flirting between them. And even at the end, when Lorelai says to Rory, "Do you think Luke is cute?"
Right.
And she's like, "Oh my God, you can't date Luke. We won't be able to eat her, and we'll have to go to Al's Pancake World or whatever." But I didn't realize it's in episode two.
It'd be Lorelai and Al, or Al and Lorelai. It's like, what? So, but yeah, the stairs. And did you, well, you can't go out with him. You're not writing up his ticket, ready the bill. You can't. You're not going to do that. You can't do that. But I mean, that stuff is hard to play because you don't want to tip your mitt. You don't want to give everything away, but it's hard not to because it's like, you know, that's the scene. But it's like,
is there really good direction there? Like, really helping you?
But everybody knows in that situation, you got to throw it away. You just have to throw the line away because it's already, the writing's already done everything for you. You don't have to work so hard. Right.
And that's I didn't remember that after Lorelai and Rory at the very end of the episode talk about, do you think Luke's cute? You come, it's like you saw them.
Right.
And you come out of the diner and you're sort of in the doorway. I mean, it's so much foreshadowing of like what we're in for the next years.
I was being stalked. It was a role reversal. It's flipping it around.
You were a little stalky going out the door too.
I don't know.
See if they were coming.
No, I was not stalky.
I definitely got the vibe that you saw them and you were kind of, oh.
But okay. So that's the choice that you have to make, right? You know, you saw them. But you could make another choice in that situation.
It felt, the flirty flirt felt mutual between them, even though it was so subtle. It's whoa, what? Are we in for?
Yeah, you gotta just lean. You just gotta ease way back on that stuff, or it just comes off badly. It's hard. It's hard to play, but it's fun. Those moments are fun.
I wanted to know about the town. So we see a lot of, we're seeing a lot of the town in this episode,
right?
Because they're driving around and they're walking around. The town is amazing, and so is Chilton. By the way, where was Chilton?
Chilton is out by Hartford, isn't it? I mean, it's 20 minutes away.
Well, no, but when you shot it, is it on the same lot, or do they have to go somewhere for the shoot? It is in Hartford.
I was never there. I think the exterior was, somewhere in L.A., but...
So not on the Warner Brothers lot with the rest of Stars Hollow.
The exterior shots? I don't believe Chilton was an exterior, but interior, sure. You know, on the back lot. Yeah. They built out the entire back lot of Warner Brothers. It was ours. That was the stunning thing when we came on for episode one and we're like, well, where's our little area of the studio? Oh, well, you've got stage 12, you've got stage 14, you've got stage 16, and the entire back lot of Warner Brothers has been recreated to look like Stars Hollow. And we're all looking at you like, what?
So, you know, at Disneyland on Main Street, there's like little hidden secrets. Like if you know, you know, there's names in the windows. Yeah. Is there anything in Stars Hollow that like you guys hid or you guys did that we wouldn't see as a first time viewer? But if you tell us, then we would notice it.
I think, well, you know, maybe. Okay, this is really great. We were shooting... I don't know. This is season two or three or four. I can't remember, but, you know, the ER set was right off to our right. Mm. If you were facing the rest of the lot and you were facing Barham, if you looked off to your right behind Luke's diner, little catty corner of Luke's diner was the ER set. And it was just kind of this small little thing, such a big show, but then they started shooting Batman back there. And late at night they would do the Batmobile And we actually had more power than a Batman movie to say, guys, we're shooting over here. You need to chill with the loud Batman car. So we'll be done in a little bit. And then you could, and they would go, oh, sorry. You know, so, you know, we kind of felt our oats a little bit. And then we'd go take pictures with the Batman car.
Wait, which Batman was it?
Batman Begins.
Is that Bale? Is that Christian Bale?
Yeah.
Oh, no, 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 no. He's like the greatest actor.
And you're telling him to just keep his Batmobile quiet.
No, I didn't. I didn't personally do it. No, we were disturbed by it. Yes, collectively as a cast and crew. And somebody from the crew went over and like waved a finger and said, hey, you know, you guys, I don't know. It was like you guys weren't supposed to start and we're finishing and chill. I didn't personally go over and confront Christian Bale in his bat suit and with my flannel. I'm saying, listen, pal, you know, you may have got a big break when you were 7 years old by Steven Spielberg, but I really fought for this. You know, so quiet down. That didn't happen.
You know what else we learn in this episode right from the start is what Rory wants to be, that she talks about wanting to be a journalist, a reporter, like Christiane Amanpour. Right. I didn't realize we learned that right from the start, and that stays throughout, too.
Sure, sure. Yeah, I mean, that second episode, it just sets into motion everything. It you know, you enter that new world, and all of the potential and all of the pitfalls that she's bound to, traps that are being set up for her and falling into. I mean, it's just great writing. You know, you set that stuff up for the actors and you set up the conflict and you set up the comedy. And that's the thing about. So here's the thing. I am sure that Amy, that happened to Amy where she went to a meeting and she didn't have any clothes and she had to wear something goofy and, you know, and or somebody told her a story. But it all comes from real life, I am sure, because that's how they respond. That's why the writing feels so alive and so real. And that's why I think people, because they've all been in those situations. So it's entirely relatable. And it's like, people aren't just laughing at the comedy. They should be on the screen, but they're laughing at themselves because they remember the moments that happened to them. So it's extraordinary in that way. So
speaking of the dry cleaning, did anyone notice in the scene where Lorelai now has her dry cleaning and she goes into the house and her mom's calling, the creepy, creepy, creepy clown pillow? Oh my God.
No.
You guys, we have to put it on the Instagram. It's in the background of that scene. She's carrying the, oh my God, it is the creepiest clown pillow.
What does it look like? What does it look like?
We will put it on the Instagram because it was, nobody noticed that.
No.
Oh, no. I was like, oh my God, what is that?
I mean, you're looking at Lorelai and cut off jeans. Why are you looking at Bella? You know, from my perspective.
The house is quirky, like inside her house. Whoever designed the set, can you remember who did all that? Like, there's so much detail in each thing, like in their house, at the inn, like every little detail.
Oh, yeah. It was a crew of people. They didn't mess around. You know, they got the top people, you know? And those are the things that... Those little details, as you know, are really, really important and captivating. Even if you don't notice it,
right? Like the alarm didn't purr. The alarm didn't purr. Like who would think to have the furry alarm?
The writers. That's writing. That's in the script. It's all in that clown pillow and that fur thing. That's in the script. It's there.
Oh my God! See,
there it is.
So we're looking at the clown pillow now.
Look at that thing.
It's it. Like, you know, it like that.
Yeah, right. It's it. It's it.
Oh, no. Oh my God.
Wow. And that was on the couch. The
clown looks disappointed too. Wow.
Yeah. It was on a chair behind the couch in this episode.
I think that the maker of that pillow gets huge residual checks from the show. My God. Just bought an island somewhere. Recently.
We also meet Jackson for the first time in this episode, which I didn't remember that Jackson shows up this soon.
Yeah, he does.
Jackson, played by Jackson. So Jackson was played by Jackson Douglas, who at the time was married to Alex Borstein.
Correct.
The harp Drella.
Drella, yes, correct. Who's now?
What do you remember about all that?
You know, just that he was a terrific comedic actor. He was just this, you know, big bear of a guy who was everybody's friend and just, you know, very gregarious, very open.
And I always loved we actually did more scenes than I realized together. And it was always great working with him. Fun guy. You know, he's since moved to Spain. He's in, I believe he's in Spain now. I think he took the kids to Spain, and wants to introduce him to that culture. So isn't that interesting? So, I'd love to get him on the show, talk about his experiences over there and what that's like, you know, and living there. So, but yeah, no, he was just a good guy to hang out with. Nice kind of mellow guy, but you know, always happy and, you know, good dude to have on the set. Yeah.
And Kirk is in this episode, but he's not Kirk. He's Mick installing the DSL line.
Yeah, right. Emily sent him over to install the DSL. He's bounced. I don't know why did they change his name? I mean, Kirk is such a better name than Mick, but I don't know the story behind that. But, you know, Sean Gunn, I just think he's one of the most, I mean, you know, the good thing about doing a podcast is you get to have all these people on the show, right? And they were all unsung and they're so underrated and nobody knows. And I think the people appreciate them, the fans appreciate them, but they're so skilled and they never got any recognition. And Sean Gunn is one of the great physical comedians that you will see working today. The things that he can do other than what he was, and he was great as Kirk. I mean, there was just, but there's a physicality with him. There's a very specific physicality in everything he does. So technically, you know, from a kind of a wonky actor's perspective, just brilliant, just absolutely brilliant. So anyway, let's get him on the show. We got to get him on the show. All right, we're going to be right back. Summer, the best time of the year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices, and vacation disappears quicker than ice cream melts. But what if summer doesn't have to come with a scorching price tag? What if there's another way? With IKEA, your plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. Here, everyone can have lounge chair access, no reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, we have all the essentials you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Dreamy getaways can mean the perfect reading nook right outside your window, picnic in the shade, or taking your morning coffee to meet the morning sun. Really, any meal tastes better outside. Create that summer escape for family and friends and start planning a better, more affordable summer right now. You can be the host with the most and the least worries. This summer, make your doorstep the perfect vacation destination with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it! Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May.
Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule-release to learn more.
Okay, gang, we're back, and I think Danielle has a few items for us. Danielle?
Yes, I feel like we missed two things from the episode, and we must cover them. So the first thing that was groundbreaking for me was obviously Chad Michael Murray, but there's a point where he calls Rory Mary, and mm-hmm. I was like, her name is Rory. Why does he keep Mary? And then they finally like explained it. Right. But for like a second there, I was like so lost. And I'm like, why does he keep calling her Mary?
But I did refer to it early in the segment, but I kind of ran through it. So
how did you not get that? How did you not get it? I got it right away.
I didn't get it either.
What, get the Mary thing?
Mm-hmm.
I had no idea either. How did you know? Did you go to private school?
Because they're so young and they're so young and innocent. No, I just figured it out right away. Why is this like cool popular guy calling her this sweet little thing Mary? Obviously.
Really?
Maybe I just know mean kids. I don't know.
I had no idea what he's talking about. It was like, you know, like the rich kids looking down on the newbie, and I'm going to call you Mary because I feel like calling you Mary and I don't care what your name is kind of thing. But
oh, so the Virgin Mary, like the little innocent girl, you guys.
I
thought he was just bad with names.
Oh my God.
Right. It was like the attitude. It was more the attitude. I didn't get that.
Okay, so the next thing, which we kind of brushed over too, but Rory's conflict with Paris, the fact that she dropped her school project gave me a heart attack.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh my God, why did she do that? And then Paris was like trying to be all cool. I don't know why, because if I was Paris, I would have ratted out Rory and was like, this chick dropped my project. Right. But he was like, she told the teacher that she just didn't have it. And I was like, what is happening? Like, why would she do that? Why would she cover?
But that happened. Like, see, for me, and that's great drama and comedy, you know, it's great dramedy right there, but it happened all so quickly. And you could have dragged that stuff out for a whole season, building that relationship up and building that conflict. All of a sudden you had Paris make that, you know, the move that you don't make where you show your cards. And she got up in her face and said, you know, I'm going to make your life living hell. Because she was answering all the questions before, raising her hand and answering all the questions before Paris had a chance to. And I don't think it was a misstep. I'm not criticizing, you know, it. But it's just like, my God, it was just like so in your face right away. The breaks her project, answers the question. Paris is just like, you see that Paris is not a cool customer. I mean, she just got overheated real fast. And it's like, Rory won the war right away, but it was like, how's this going to play out? So it was, we're left as an audience to see what kind of power and how devious can Paris get. And she,
you know, I love that the show doesn't beat around the bush.
It doesn't, like, beat around the bush,
except it right away.
Right.
Except for Luke and Lorelai.
Right. Exactly.
Paris is going to be like fun to watch throughout the season. Like, I can't wait to see how it unfolds.
Oh God. Yeah. I know. And when we did, that was, my God, you know, the Paris days were always great. And filming, you know, that Paris scene that I, you know, in Year in the Life, which I've gone on record and say I didn't like how it made Luke look. But you can't deny the funny scene and the great acting from Liza Wheel. In the Year in the Life as the fertility expert. very, very funny stuff. And she really delivered. Okay, guys, what do we have?
So the first pop culture reference we have, Lorelai's getting out of the Jeep in her cutoff shorts, and she says, no, I look like that chick from the Dukes of Hazzard.
Catherine Bach.
Totally. Oh, yeah. Did you guys remember Dukes of Hazzard, or only the older people?
I remember,
you know, like Jessica Simpson.
I know the Jessica Simpson Dukes of Hazzard.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh my God. Yeah, there was a reboot. Yeah. So weird.
I remember both, actually. Both.
Me too. And that was a classic line.
Yeah. It's classic.
The next pop culture reference we have, Rory's talking to the headmaster, and when he asks her what she wants to do, she refers to Christiane Amanpour.
The headmaster says, not Oprah, Rosie, or one of the women from The View.
Talk about Christiane Amanpour, Cokie Roberts, Oprah, Rosie, The View.
Right. Yeah, because at the time, Christiane Amanpour was becoming this, you know, superstar journalist on CNN.
And Cokie Roberts was like legit.
Yeah, she was. Cokie Roberts was like number one at that time, too. You know, they were both up there, sure. So did The View start? When did The View? How long has The View been around?
Yeah, The View premiered a couple years before that, 1997.
Oh, okay. All right. Wow.
And I think it is still the number one daytime talk show.
Right, right.
Wow. Yeah, so that, like, Oprah obviously works as well today as it did then. I mean, Rosie, do you guys know that that's Rosie O'Donnell? And at the time, she had a big talk show.
Right, exactly.
I didn't know that.
Yes.
I know the name of Rosie, but I didn't know it was Rosie
and
O'Donnell.
And why did she leave? She was on The View. Why did she leave The View?
Well, before The View, she had her own talk
show. She had
shows.
Her own, yeah, the Rosie O'Donnell
then
show.
Then she was on The View, and then there was that big drama with Elizabeth Hasselbeck. That was why they all
with Rosie O'Donnell.
Yes. Oh my God.
What was the drama? It was like
there was some sort of incident where Rosie didn't defend Elizabeth, and then they got into this argument, and then they double boxed them. So they like put up Rosie and put up Elizabeth, because they sat at opposite ends of the table. It was super dramatic.
Like this is what happens to people that ask for too much money when they renegotiate. We're going to do this.
No, they had like a real, he really went at it over something.
Really? So something it was legit. Political. It wasn't just like, let's get rid of him. This is how we're doing it.
No, this was legit. And then I think Rosie, I don't want to say it wrong, but I think she almost kind of had it. And then she left The View and Elizabeth stayed. I don't remember exactly the details,
right. But
The View reference definitely works.
Definitely.
Lorelai's talking about her outfit and her crazy morning. And she says, I was supposed to look together and fabulous and not like I've been up all night playing quarters.
Which I very much understood, you know, quarters, the drinking, you know, college drinking game.
Yeah, I don't know what quarters is. I don't even know what you're talking about. Huh?
At the inn, Lorelai's trying to talk on the phone and Drella's playing on her harp. Lorelai says, Drella, take it down. And Drella responds, hey, do I look like I have Panasonic stamped on my ass?
That was funny.
I mean, that character, man, the potential for that character. And they eliminated the character. You know,
was that just because Alex couldn't do it?
Yeah.
Because she was too busy.
Oh, God. You know, that character and, you know, Alex doing that character of Drella would have been as iconic as anything on that show, even if she just had one scene an episode, because it was so funny. It was so, and we were concerned when we found out she couldn't get out of her contract. That was the first time we were all like, oh no, no, that's like, oh, that's a big hit we just took there, because man, that girl was going to provide a ton of comedy. And how are we going to replace that? And then Melissa McCarthy happened. So there, boom, there you go. That's how you do it.
Well, I love she was going ham on the harp, and then she goes, I'm done, and then just stops and walks away.
Exactly.
Lorelai walks by Miss Patty's, and Miss Patty is telling her students, walk smooth. That's the new Harry Potter on your heads. If they should drop, Harry will die, and there won't be any more books.
Wow.
It was solid, because it still totally works, and it probably scared the crap out of those kids.
Yeah, that's old school, right?
There was a good Dixie Chicks reference, too.
Oh, really? Which one?
Yeah, where was that? It was
when they were called, didn't they change their name a bunch of times?
They're the Chicks now, but they definitely mentioned Dixie Chicks in the episode. Dixie and something Chicks. About that Lorelai Gilmore was a stripper name. Who said that?
I don't know. Who said that?
My God, I just watched this episode 3 times. And it's like, the thing. The scripts are so dense. You can rewatch it and rewatch it and rewatch it.
All right, so somebody in the audience needs to send us the answer to that question.
Yeah, where did they say Dixie Chicks? Where did
they
episode?
Say Dixie Chicks, and where was it?
Before we go, should everyone say their favorite line?
Go ahead.
Even though I do love the end when we realize she has a crush on Luke, my favorite was when the flirty dad guy says, is your husband here? I'd love to meet him. Not married. I'd love to meet your wife. Divorced. And then she says, shame. It's just so fast, but it's so, you're like, oh my God.
Go ahead. Who's next?
Mine was when Lorelai was talking to Rory about her first day, and she says, "Do you want me to talk to anyone? A parent, a teacher, a big guy named Moose?"
And also from Lorelai. And it's, "My clothes were at the cleaners and I had the fuzzy clock and it didn't purr on time."
There you go. There you go.
What about you, Scott?
Yeah, I have to go with the Emily line. Did you drive or is your horse tied up outside? I mean, that is just like, oh man.
No spurs. See you for Friday night dinner.
Just,
no spurs.
Just brilliant. Just, I mean, Kelly Bishop at her finest. You know, it's just, man. Unbelievable. You know, she's doing a new series. She's doing the Halston thing.
With
Ewan McGregor. Yeah. Ewan McGregor.
Oh.
Yeah. And the trailer is fantastic. It's really fantastic. Yeah. Kelly's in that. I think she plays.
Yeah. She's so important in Gilmore World.
Yeah, she is.
Because there's just so much because of her.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know, they wanted to call it, I think the studio wanted to call it the Gilmore Way or something like that. And I think Amy fought for Gilmore Girls. They didn't want to call it Gilmore Girls. They wanted a broader title. Mm-hmm. But I think Gilmore Girls is good.
Yeah. Yeah. They made the right call. Pretty much around everything.
I think they could have called it the anything. They could have called it the cable or they could have called it the piano Kate. It would have been a great show. It wouldn't have mattered.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
All right, guys, we're going to wrap it up. Episode 2. What a gas. Listen, send us your comments. We love getting feedback. We want to, implement great ideas, things that you want to see and you want to hear us talk about, see us talk about. So we're completely open to that. This is a highly interactive fan engagement type of podcast. So we're open to all your ideas. So,
and your criticisms, we can take it.
Yeah, we can take it. We're all a little long in the tooth here, except for like these two, but Amy and I are, we're tough. We can take it.
Yeah, I'll cry like a little bit,
but we're going to protect you. All right. So, but we do read your comments. We do appreciate all of the feedback. And, 99% of it, 0.9 is over the moon. And there are some great comments we're getting and they're helping shape the show a little bit. So keep them coming. All right, gang, that's it. We're going to wrap it up. Episode 2 and episode 3. Listen, you're going to be very happy about our episode 3 guest. You DM'd us to death about this guest. We have asked this guest and this guest has agreed to come on, so you're gonna be very happy about it. And we'll get into episode 3, Kill Me Now. So this is Scott Patterson, I Am All In podcast. Thanks for downloading. Much love to everybody. Bye. Everybody, and don't forget, follow us on Instagram at I Am All In Podcast and email us at gilmore@iheartradio.com. Oh, you Gilmore fans, if you're looking for the best cup of coffee in the world, go to my website for my company, scottyp.com, scottyp.com, scottyp.com. Grade 1 specialty coffee.
Ah, summer. The best time of the year usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices. But what if there was another way? With IKEA, your summer plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. At IKEA, everyone can have lounge chair access. No reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, they have all of the essentials that you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Start planning a better summer with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it on. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.